Hey, everybody, Brian Murphy here, and you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield, or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.
All right, welcome back to Talking Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Carey Crowley. Giants and the Pirates coming up later on today right here on the Sports Leader. But right now, it's my pleasure to welcome in our next guest, national columnist for FanSided. Perfect person to talk about the MLB trade deadline coming up on Friday, July 30th. Robert Murray, kind enough to join us once again this season. Rob, how's it going, sir?
It goes really well. How are you doing?
Doing very well myself, and so much action expected this week, but it's already been sort of a busy trade deadline. Deals are starting to happen, moves are starting to be made, conversations are heating up, and I want to pick your brain a little bit on the Nelson Cruz to Tampa Bay move that the Minnesota Twins made earlier in the week, because the San Diego Padres were reportedly involved in that. A little surprising to see the Padres show interest in Cruz, who's a DH. What can you tell us about that deal and kind of the ramifications that it has around the league?
Yeah, that was a really interesting trade, and the market for Cruz really had heated up recently, and there was teams that poked around with the Twins about his ability to play either the outfield or at first base, which is exactly what the Padres would have had Cruz do. But when at the end of the day, the Rays really stood out as the best fit for him because they needed a true DH. They had played, I think, 12 different guys there at DH this year. And having him there and then moving Austin Meadows to the outfield really adds a nice, potent offensive bat for them. And it comes at a pretty expensive price. I think there was a lot of people who were pretty surprised by how much the Rays gave up, but they also had the ability to do that because they had so many arms in their minor league system. But with Cruz, the Rays become even more potent, and they're going to end up challenging the Red Sox in the AL East. Like, that's going to be a very fun race, but the Rays are not done either. We got to see it with them trading Rich Hill today to the Mets. So they're not done. They're going to continue to add, but that was a trade that just made too much sense for them to pass up.
I do want to ask you about that Rich Hill trade as he goes to the New York Mets. And, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays taking on the salary of Nelson Cruz. He still owed about $5 million. Rich Hill not owed that much for the remainder of the season. So kind of slight cost-cutting measure there by Tampa Bay, but you feel like the Rays always have pitching depth and they'll be able to replace Rich Hill, whereas the Mets, they've already got a great rotation led by Jacob deGrom, Marcus Stroman, Taijuan Walker have been so solid this season. How does Rich Hill fit into New York and what they're doing from a pitching standpoint?
Yeah, with Hill in New York, you mentioned those starters, and DeGrom is out for an uncertain amount of time. It could be a while. He's not going to start throwing until he feels no pain in his forearm or elbow area, which the Mets have no idea when that's going to be, and that enhanced their need for a starting pitcher. So Hill hasn't pitched in a while, so he'll be able to pitch basically right away for the Mets. And it was a kind of a situation where they needed somebody like ASAP, and they're going to continue to look for starting pitching. I don't know if it's going to end up being a high-end starter like a Jose Barrios or anyone along those lines, but somebody who's cheap, who is not going to end up requiring them to give up any of their top prospects. But yeah, the Mets, they had to make a move. Hill was the guy that they had targeted, and the Rays, as you had mentioned, they were looking to shed a little bit of salary after getting Cruz, and Hill was going to end up being the guy. And I'm curious to see exactly what kind of flexibility the Rays have going forward with making moves. Cause as I said, they're not done, but just, there's such a low payroll team, they always got to be really creative with what they do. And they've been very successful at it, but this year is going to be no different either.
Well, it's going to be a really interesting trade deadline because just as it is about every year, every contender is looking for starting pitching, and specifically in the National League West, you look at the San Francisco Giants atop the division, you look at the LA Dodgers in second place, you look at the San Diego Padres who added Blake Snell and Yu Darvish in the offseason in third place. All three of those teams could stand to add a starting pitcher. Who do you see as the most aggressive of that trio to go out and get a high-quality arm?
Yeah, I think it's going to go as follows. It's going to be the Dodgers, it's going to be the Padres, and then the Giants. I think the Giants, in their case, they could get pretty creative. I think they can end up dealing a guy like Joey Bart. And he's a very valuable piece for them. And I've gotten the indication talking to a bunch of different people around the league that they're more willing to trade him now than they have been in the past. So that could net them a pretty decent starter. I'm curious who that could be, because there's not really like a very good starting pitcher out there besides Jose Berríos. And I don't think he's going to get traded, and Max Scherzer is most likely not going to get traded either. But of all those three teams that you mentioned that are looking for starting pitching in the National League West, I would be pretty surprised if one of them does not end up with Kyle Gibson. I think that's going to happen at some point. I just don't like, it's a really interesting case because he's a former top prospect and he wasn't really that good in previous seasons. And then this year he's kind of taken off. So teams kind of view him as like a number three or number four starter. But I would imagine one of those teams in the NL West is going to get him. Not exactly sure which one it'll be, but well, yeah, as you said, all three of those teams are pretty strongly looking for a starter right now.
Well, picking up the Texas Rangers ace Kyle Gibson, who's under team control through 2022, could cost a lot in terms of prospect capital. And the name you threw out there, Joey Bart, I do wonder if the Giants are going to make a deal involving Bart, would it have to be for a pitcher of better caliber than Kyle Gibson? Would it have to be for a position player like Joey Gallo, who's under team control through 2022? You mentioned the name Bart. It wouldn't shock me to see the Giants move him, but you do feel like if the Giants are going to send the number two pick from the 2018 draft elsewhere, that they would have to do something very, very big, right?
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't just be straight up for a guy like Kyle Gibson. I would imagine it would have to be, if it was involving Gibson, it would probably have to include Joey Gallo. Or if you're looking at another team, maybe like the Miami Marlins, if they're willing to give up Starling Marte and another player. I can't see them giving up Bart for a rental either. So it'd have to be either a headline player or for multiple players who can impact the major league level this year. And something about Farhan Zaidi that I think teams are all aware of is he's building this Giants team to contend not just this year, but going forward as well. He's not going to make short-sighted moves that are going to impact their future. Everything that he ends up doing this year is going to have to benefit them now and in the next couple of seasons as well. So I'm very curious to see what he does in dealing Bart, which, as I said, I think he's very open to, would have to be in a really special circumstance and not just impacting this year, but in future seasons as well.
We're chatting with fan-sided columnist Robert Murray. Does a great job covering all 30 teams across the league. He's a must-follow on Twitter around the trade deadline, @ByRobertMurray. Does great work. And, Bert, I want to ask you about another NL West team who's in a bit of a different position at this year's trade deadline, the Colorado Rockies, who are, you know, looking to be sellers at this deadline, change in general manager at the beginning of the season, obviously not involved in this postseason race. Do John Gray and Trevor Story both get dealt? What's your hunch right now?
I'm going to say right now that John Gray gets traded. I think the Mets also make a lot of sense for him. I think his market is going to be pretty strong because there's a lot of teams who are curious what he will look like pitching outside of Coors Field. Even then, he's been pretty successful pitching there. As for Trevor Story, like going into this month, I think everybody expected that he would get traded. And in the last, I would say, week or so, there's been a decent amount of skepticism that's actually going to happen. Because if you look at what his market looks like, it's not really that strong. It's not like the number, the top three teams that you see for Story, that one are the Yankees, and I can't see them end up getting somebody right now. And who would end up being a free agent at the end of the year than have him leave. I think it's much more likely that they end up pursuing him or a different player in the offseason when they can sign him long-term. The White Sox make sense for him. But their team who's going to be aggressive. They're going to look to make aggressive moves, but they're not going to pay a premium to get him. It doesn't make sense for what they want to do right now. And then the other team, you can look at the Mets. You can also look at the A's. The Mets, I think Javier Baez is much more likely for Story. And then the A's, he'll be too expensive. So if you're looking at all those teams, none of them seem like a real ideal match. Or there could end up being a mystery team that hops in. I could see the Brewers being a surprise team. Maybe I saw Mark Feinsand mention that there's a team looking at Story to play center field. And the Brewers have Jackie Bradley Jr. and Lorenzo Cain there. But both of them have either underperformed or been injured. So maybe that's just me connecting dots. I'm not saying that the Brewers are in on Story, but that's just one to watch. But my gut tells me that Story ends up staying in Colorado unless something changes.
Well, that would be a really interesting move, a team acquiring the pending free agent Trevor Story and getting him to play the outfield. Every year, something unexpected happens at the trade deadline. That would certainly qualify. Rob, one more I wanted to ask you about, and a team specifically, the Chicago Cubs. Jed Hoyer has kind of thrown up the white flag. It seems like they are going to be big-time sellers at this year's deadline. A number of pending free agents, Craig Kimbrell, Chris Bryant. Will there be a fire sale in Chicago? And if so, which teams or players stand to benefit from that?
Yeah, it's going to be a fire sale with the Cubs, and it's got the attention of basically everybody in baseball because they are the team to watch. And I would be floored if Chris Bryant did not get traded, and I'd be pretty stunned if Craig Kimbrell didn't get traded. And if we're looking at Bryant's market, I think we have to look at the National League East. The Phillies could make sense, the Nationals could make sense, even the Mets can make sense. I think the Nationals out of all those teams make the most sense for him because they have a huge need at third base. And I don't think it's going to take too much to get Chris Bryant. It's not going to take a significant haul because, one, he's not had a very good season, and two, he's a free agent at the end of the year. And I don't think his market is going to end up dictating him for a team to overpay to acquire Bryant. So I think the Nationals are the team to watch for Bryant. And then I think basically every single contending team in baseball is going to be after Kimbrell. The teams I would watch for him are the Red Sox, the A's, and the Astros. I could even see the Giants being in the mix too, just because he has an option for next year. And it's likely going to get picked up because it's pretty team friendly. And he's on a pace to be a Hall of Fame closer. And the Giants could use another late inning arm. Basically, every single contending team could, if we're being honest. But Kimbrell is going to get is very likely going to get traded. And then they have all sorts of different options too. They have some nice bullpen pieces. They have Zach Davies. I would imagine there's going to be teams that check in on Kyle Hendricks. There's just a lot of options for them. And as you said, it's going to be a fire sale. And basically, it's the story of the trade deadline, is what it is.
Well, it should be a really fun week, and we will be sure to follow all of your work at FanSided and on Twitter, at By Robert Murray. Bert, thanks so much for stopping by talking baseball. We always appreciate it, sir. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
All right, he's Robert Murray. A lot more coming up next on Talking Baseball. You're listening to KMBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.
Hey, everybody. Brian Murphy here, and you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.